Well, thank you, folks, and God bless you. Welcome to church, isn't it a great day? Isn't every day a great day with Jesus? Now, I need some lights turned down there because I'm being blinded here. And you don't need to see me too much, do you? You can hear me? That's all you need to do. That's better. Thank you very much. That's good. Now I can't read my notes. On a flight. Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's good fun. Hey, I hope you're going well. I hope your Christian life's exciting. I hope God's doing things in you that is stirring you up for His glory and His purposes. And we're going to rejoice together one day when we get to heaven about all the good things God has done in us and through us. This morning I want to talk to you about the subject of faith. And the sermon for me is called Faith That Pleases God. 507 years ago, on the 31st of October, which we just passed last Thursday, a man named Martin Luther took 95 theses on a page and he nailed it to the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And the whole premise of which he was doing that was he was looking at what was happening, and I'm not here to bag the Catholic Church, but at that time it was a difficult proposition. They were selling indulgences so you could escape a certain amount of time in purgatory if you bought these indulgences. In other words, they're saying the Pope can sign you off so you don't have to go through purgatory. You can proceed on from there. They encouraged people to do all of these things to try and get themselves right with God. And so they'd crawl on their knees and up the steps of cathedrals, and their knees would be bloody and really damaged by doing that, just to get themselves right with God. But Martin Luther came across a verse in the Bible. Now, remember, in those days, only the priests read the Bible because the common people couldn't read, and so they didn't have a Bible in their hands. Plus, there wasn't general Bibles available. And so they dominated because they said, well, this is what the Bible says, and they made the people bend to their will. But Martin Luther, I think he was a priest, he read a verse in Romans 1, verse 17, and it says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And that turned his heart. And from that point on, he promoted what became the Reformation during the Dark Ages there, and the church grew from there. And so the hand of God was on the church. But it's 507 years since he did that. That's an immense thing. But I want to say to you this morning, as we live our Christian life, God wants us to live by faith and increase our faith as we continue the journey. In fact, he wants it to be an adventure, not a retirement. And he'll cause situations to arise in your life so that you will turn to him to exercise faith. Now, some people believe being born again, hey, I'm going to heaven, I'm great. But and they sort of then think, well, God's going to bless me and he's going to look after me and Christianity's great. I meet all these lovely people and I go to church. We sing songs. Look, that is all good. But that's the starting point, not the end point. When we become born again, God wants us to grow. And there's areas we do. And that's part of my heart, is to stir you and say, you've got to grow. And one of the things you've got to grow in is in the realm of faith. You know, God operates by faith. In Hebrews 11:3, the scripture says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are invisible." Were not made of things which are visible. So God spoke, and He brought things out of nothing. What can't be seen, to be seen. The worlds, the universes, everything around us is there. So God starts with faith. We need to start with faith. I'm going to tell you my opinion this morning. I know you're all very keen to hear it. Write this down. Hey, it is my belief that what we develop here in our character, our soul, and with faith is what we take to heaven. We don't get to heaven and suddenly we're all transformed. Yes, we are transformed. If we go in the rapture, of course, our body is transformed. If we die before the rapture, then our soul and our spirit are joined back to God. But we don't God doesn't make us all, he doesn't get out the cookie cutter and make us all the same. We are people who transformed here on this earth, and we take that with us. And our soul, with our character and the faith that's developed, is what we operate with in heaven. Why would God want us to operate with faith on this earth if that's where it ends? Once it's all over, once we go to heaven, once we take in the rapture, faith ends. I don't believe that's true. I believe that the faith we develop here is what we take to heaven, and that will determine the places that God has for us in heaven, the purposes he has for us in heaven. There still will be an expression of faith. God's faith doesn't end when everybody joins him in heaven. God's faith still continues. Jesus' faith is still expressed. Our faith is still expressed. And so my encouragement to you is grow in every way you can in your faith and in your character, because that's what you're going to take with you when you go to be with the Lord eventually. So that's an important thing. That's my personal belief. I believe it as I read it in Scripture. I feel the Holy Spirit is involved in that as well, and I want you to be a part of that. In the Old Testament, there's only two mentions of the word faith. That's in the New King James Version, and over 200 in the New Testament. So we see in the New Testament, faith has become a more intrinsic thing in the lives of Christians that we are to walk in and express. In the Old Testament, they more talked about trusting God. And I see trusting God and faith as being linked. I don't see them as being exclusive. In Ephesians 2:8, talking about our salvation, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God." We're saved by faith through grace. The grace, the unmerited favour of God, the ability to receive, and he imparts faith to us so that we can receive it and we can be born again. In Romans 1:17, which I read, "The just shall live by faith," it says, from faith to faith there that we grow, as it is written, that the just shall live by faith. And we are the just. And so God says, I want you to live by faith. And let me just give you a perspective for a moment. Can I put this up on the board that, hello, we haven't got any notes up there. Keep rolling. That's it. That's the one I want. Can you just look at this, these three circles? I've done this before, so this for some of you is not new. In the inner circle, it's the world we live in. It's the three-dimensional world that we are in. And so that is also takes in the fourth dimension, which is time. I see those. I'm simplifying this. I know other people have got graphs and all sorts of things that have 20 dimensions, but this for me is how simple. So those two inner circles, you could write across them natural world. That's the natural. But once you get into the fifth dimension, which has suddenly disappeared, in the fifth dimension, it's the supernatural. It's beyond the natural dimension. And so can you grasp in your mind, as I talk about this, you've got the four dimensions, three-dimensional, which we can see, and time is a dimension because we are tied in that, and then the fifth dimension. And what I'm trying to say to you is when you pray, your words come out of your mouth and they exist in the natural dimension, the 3D and the 4D, if you like. But here's what's significant. In that dimension, unless you record those words, they're out there. They're gone. But they don't stop existing. They go into the fifth dimension, into the supernatural dimension. See, we are supernatural beings. And if we only focus on what we can see and the three dimensions, the four dimensions taking time, if we only focus on that, we miss out on what God wants us to walk in. That's why we talk about faith. Faith operates in the natural, but brings the supernatural into the natural. That's why for things that are not seen become visible. And so when we look with the spiritual eyes, we see into the supernatural, and we see what God wants to bring into the natural, then we express our faith to release it. So faith isn't complicated. It's simply believing God. When we know this is what God wants, we speak it into being. We, just as God spoke it into being, we declare it, we receive it, we walk in it. Now, talking about time for a moment, we are prisoners of time. We're bound in time. The good news is, so is Satan. He's bound in time. The Bible says he knows his time is short. So he knows that there's a movement of time which confines him as well. If Satan could move through time, as God does, God is outside of... Can we have that back up again? God is in the supernatural dimension, but in the supernatural dimension, there's no time because the bigger dimension contains the smaller dimension or the lesser dimension. And so God can see the crucifixion as it is happening. He can see the creation of the world as it is happening. He can see into the future as it is happening. That's why we can get a prophetic word, and he might bring through the prophets, is because he is seeing it happening. And he's saying, this is what's happening at this point in time, which might be 100 years down the road. And he's telling about it now. So while we are bound in time, we need to do things God's way. And we need to connect with God. We need to be walking with him in the expression of God. What do you want so that I can live in that? And that's why we are talking about walking by faith and living by faith. And let me add this little thing into it as well. You know, God does bring circumstances into our life that are not fair. And we don't think we deserve them. But he allows it to come. And sometimes he causes it. Because he wants us to express faith. I've walked through some hard times over the years. And I think, God, why me? You know, give it to Denise. She deserves it. I don't deserve it. She deserves it. Or to somebody else, whatever. You know what I'm... But it's because God wants to develop faith. He says, I want you to be a man or a woman of faith. Therefore, I'm entrusting you with circumstances that you do not deserve, but will change your life if you get the right attitude and express to God, hey, Lord, I'm putting my trust into you and I'm believing to see an answer in this situation, a creative miracle. Why don't we see more miracles? Because we're not walking by faith. And I'm encouraging you today, step out in faith. Be believing God to see things happen in your life, in your family, and let God move through that. We're talking about time for a moment. A couple of weeks ago, Denise and I went to Sydney to visit her aunt, who was 103 years of age. Now, mostly bedridden, as you would understand at that age, but, I mean, 103. Oh, God, please, not 103. 85 would be good. I'd check out, you know, still got my teeth and a few things like that. Moving on. I had a great-great-grandmother who lived to be 109. And I'm just hoping those genes haven't been passed down to me. The good news is my grandfather on my father's side died at 60 years of age. And, pardon? Okay, we'll... wasn't good news for them. I know. All I'm trying to say is, you know, sadly over the years I've had to do funerals of babies and young people. And we live in a world where people die at many different ages. But you see, the thing isn't about the length of time you live on the earth. It's about whether you've used that wisely and whether spiritual life has come to you and you can express faith. I know there's people who've died at younger ages, maybe 40, 50, 60, and yet somehow they've connected with God in such a way that faith has flowed from their life beyond people who've maybe lived to 100 years of age. So I'm just encouraging you, though time limits us, don't let time be a confinement for your spiritual life and your faith expression. Determine you're going to do that. We don't know tomorrow. I mean, I'm believing all of you will be here next week, so that we're not a problem. But hey, time, we can, you know, life needs to be treated with a certain respect and not wasted. We don't just use time, we employ it to develop our life and our faith. And I mentioned that faith and trust are connected. Let me just going on for a moment about moving in faith. One of the reasons I mentioned the longevity of life, I prayed for 10 years for my parents to become Christians. Now, I happen to believe God answered that prayer the day I first prayed it. And I kept praying it for 10 years. And then God inserted it at a certain point in time. And that they responded to that and they became born again. Thank God for that. But so why did God let me pray for 10 years? Because he was developing something in me, a strength of character in faith and expectation and trusting God. And when I saw the answer, I knew that God was moving, and you will, if you pray, you'll know God's moving. But I kept praying, and I kept praying, and trusting God, and he brought about the answer to that. I think I may have this story not perfect, and Pastor Ben will correct me as I go, but George Mueller, who lived in the 1800s in Britain, and he, in those days, a lot of kids ended up as orphans, and they could just be on the street, and they could be very young on the street, and it was a dreadful situation. London was a dreadful place in the 1800s, dreadful. It's okay for the rich, they can get away with it, but for the poor, and there were many poor, suffered terribly. So George Mueller opened these homes to bring in orphans. And he was also like a pastor in a local church. And George Mueller was a man of faith. He never took up offerings. He said to people, there's a box by the door. If you feel God encourage you to put something in there. And they did. With the orphanages, he said, we will never tell people when we have a need for finance or food. And sometimes they would sit at the table and there'd be no food in the house. The orphans are sitting there, hungry little things they are, as children, as they're growing up are. And he'd say, we're now going to say grace and thank God for the food on our table. And people would be thinking, there's no food in the house. This isn't going to happen. But invariably, time and time again, they'd sit, they'd say grace, they'd thank God for the food, and a knock would come on the door and food would be out there. Whether the angels provided or people provided, I got no idea. But God provided. What a man of faith. But a friend of George Mueller said to him, my son is away from God. Would you pray for him? And George Mueller agreed. And the man was dying who asked George Mueller this. And the man died. And George Mueller prayed for 30 years for this son who was away from God and never saw an answer to prayer. But the day of George Mueller's funeral, that man answered the call to be born again. So sometimes, and George Mueller was a great man of faith, but he had to pray for 30 years. So I'm just trying to encourage you. Don't become discouraged in prayer. Keep the faith. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. God knows the right time for the answer to that. And even if we don't see an answer in our lifetime, it's built something in us of strength and hope to walk on in God. Okay, so I asked the question, you know, how do we grow in faith? In Luke 17, verses 5 and 6, the scripture says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you had faith as a mustard seed. Now, mustard seeds are very, very small. They're tiny. And they grow to be a sizable tree, bush. If you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So we're talking about mustard seeds. And I see in that mustard seed faith that Jesus is talking about, he's saying with a mustard seed, you've got to plant it. As a seed, it's just a seed. If you put it on a shelf and say, look at those beautiful mustard seeds, if you mount it on a painting and say, look at all those beautiful mustard seeds, they're useless. They achieve nothing. They're designed to be planted. And so if you have mustard seeds and you plant them, then you see the growth of a tree that will produce the things that are needed for mustard. So how do we take the seeds? And I want to encourage you, take the seeds of faith as a mustard seed, something small, but plant it. Plant it by faith, plant it by prayer, plant it by watering it with, you know, the declarations that this is going to produce something that's great. And, you know, when life gets challenging, whether it's problems or sickness or circumstances, don't give in. See that as a mustard seed that you can put in the ground and say, I thank you, Lord. I trust you. I'm going to see an answer to prayer on this. This problem is not going to win over my life. I'm not going to be discouraged through this. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we have not suffered what Job suffered. The loss of his children, the loss of his wealth, and then his friends come and it would have been better if they never came. They just made him feel bad. They said, your sin, that's why you're in this problem. Thank God for good friends, eh? And yet will I trust him. Abraham and Sarah, very old, couldn't have children. God promised them a child. Unfortunately, it was a little blip, and Abraham took Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, and Ishmael was born from that, and that's why we have all the problems in the Middle East now between the Jews and the Palestinians. But he did trust him, and the child came. And then God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. I mean, he's in his old age. This is a miracle child. And God said, I want you to kill it. And that was not so unusual in that society then. There was children were sacrificed. It's a horrible thing to say. And yet, may I suggest to you today, we sacrifice children in the womb. So for us to criticise what happened back there is not a lot of different what's happening to our nation today and other nations as well. But eventually, of course, God honoured Abraham because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. So how do we get the seed to plant? Well, in Romans 10:17, the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Word of God. How do we get the word of God? We seek God. We let the Holy Spirit speak a word into our being. When I've believe God. Look, I'm not trying to blow my trumpet here, but everything you see on this site literally has come because of my faith. I'm not saying other people weren't with us, but I'm the guy I had to believe. I had to believe for the land. I had to believe for the buildings. I had to believe for the finance because God put it in my spirit. And when God's got something in your spirit, you can grab a hold of that and say, God, I believe this. We're going to see this happen. And we declare it and it comes out. And so the release of the word out of the scripture, you can grab the promises. You can let God speak something into you out of scripture and you begin to believe it. You begin to water it by prayer and belief, and that releases the faith and brings that forth in your life. It's what God wants for us. And also, I believe the preach word. I also believe when I bless you at the end of the service, I'm putting mustard seeds into your hands. And it's up to you whether you see that blessing. Now, I know there are general blessings God will bring forward, but I believe that if you want to see that extended blessing of God on your life, let the mustard seed get planted by faith. In other words, believe God that he wants to bring this forth in your life. In James 1:3, the scripture says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let me tell you, God will test your faith so that you can have endurance to go forth. This world needs men and women of faith. And I think this is where the church, if I could say it in a very general sense, has let the world down. We haven't kept operating in faith. We've just become like the world. We've become, you know, we've accepted the things of the world. We need to change that. Something needs to rise in our heart. I'm not going to let this continue, Lord. Listen, this land on which we are, I fought 4 years for in faith with the local council. There were other issues and other people who were causing us problems regarding it, but basically it was a council issue. But it wasn't really the people in council. At the end of the day, it was the powers of darkness that were trying to hold it back, because I guess they knew that when we plant this, the devil hates you taking land. But when we plant this, thank God for all the people who have been saved through this whole campus, in the junior campus of the school, but also in this building as well, through church service, whatever else has happened here. Thank God for that. That's why we're opposed. Honestly, for 4 years, it was a fight of faith. We used to have Sunday afternoon prayer meetings, powering in God. And I used to say, God, just let me curse them. But God won't let me do that. I have told you before, I said, Denise, if I die because of this, you take my ashes and spread them on the land in front of the council, because I am coming back to haunt them for what they put us through. But we hung in. in the realm of faith, and God provided. Then he provided the $20 million we needed to build all of these facilities that we have. Actually, more than that, probably $25 million today, when you take this building into account as well. It wasn't in the part of the original $20 million. So, mustard seed faith. Let it rise. And then the second thing is faith in a person. Faith is in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, 5 to 10. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go and he goes, and to another, come and he comes, and to my servant, do this and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. I'm quite amazed by those words. Here's a centurion, obviously, I'm assuming a Roman soldier, leading men, a pretty tough life in the Roman army. And this centurion came and he said to Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus said, I'll come. And he said, no need for you to come. You say the word. He recognized the authority Jesus had. And we need to walk in that too. Say the word. See, when we pray, we use the name of Jesus, don't we? We pray a prayer and we say, and we pray it in Jesus' name. When we're dealing with demonic powers and stuff like that, I raise the name of Jesus against them. I don't oppose them on my personal level. I come in the name of Jesus. Jesus sent the 70 out and they came back and they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So our when we have express faith, it's because of a person. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Always bring Jesus into the realm of faith that you express, because that's where faith comes from and is released in our lives. We've made stands in faith for this community over the years. I was in prayer the other day and I was thinking about, I remember a couple of months ago I prayed about the spirit of poverty that rests on our city. We're yoked by it as a city. And we prayed about it, and I've been praying about it since, believing to see the yoke of poverty broken of our city and to see spiritual prosperity and other things in prosperity come to the city of Mackay. And the Holy Spirit said, I've given you a sign. And I thought, what's that? And he drew my attention to the election last week, on Saturday last week, and in particular to our division of Mackay. And I'm not here to make political statements and I don't want to talk about political parties. But we saw a man elected last Saturday with a huge swing, 17% swing there in voters, which I think is the greatest in our state last weekend was seen here. I mean, I'm sitting at home watching the results of the elections, waiting for Mackay to come up on the screen. And it never did. And I said to Denise, they're not showing Mackay. She said, oh, that's because it's done and dusted. It's over. I said to Angus last week, how was the party last night for his dad winning the election? He said, we learned it so early, we're all home by 9:30. It was all over. Now, I said, I'm not making a political statement here, but you see, remember I said to you, vote the man, not the party. Nigel Dalton is a good Christian man, solid, strong. He stood the faith test over the years. And he's a good Baptist man, and he'll be great in Parliament. Incidentally, talking to a guy named Mark Robinson, who was the MP for, is it Odgeroo or something, one of those divisions, and now Amanda Stoker's taken his place because he retired. He was telling me there was 12 solid Christians standing for election in the last election. And he said, I pray that you mentor them and help them to walk forward in the things that they need to do in Parliament as Christians. So can I just say this? It doesn't matter who's in power. It matters that we pray in faith. And so I pray for the federal government. I pray for the Prime Minister. I never want to be guilty of spending so much time criticising the government more than I prayed for them. And I've been challenged about that. And I think the Holy Spirit said, well, if you prayed for them as much as you criticised them, maybe things would change. And I took that on. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for them. So I pray for our federal government. I pray for our state government. And I'm asking you to do the same. We have a new government in Brisbane, but I'm asking you to pray for it. They do the right thing. They do the Christian thing that you know, unfortunately, the previous government brought a lot of stuff in as Christians we would not agree with. And I'm hoping that could be changed back. But let's pray. Let's not just sit back and say, oh, well, now they're in, that's good. No, no. Let's support them in prayer. That's my encouragement. Let's express the faith. All right, moving on from that. Faith's in a person. We've talked about prosperity. Number three, in Mark 11:22, says, so Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Really, the correct expression there is have the faith of God. And you say, how could we ever have the faith of God? I mean, God would be ultimate faith. We're not there. Well, really what it's saying to us, the intent is to let God's faith work in us. And we do that by listening to the Holy Spirit. In the book of Revelation, Jesus appeared to the Apostle John, who was on the island of Patmos. It was a place of imprisonment. It wasn't a nice place. It wasn't a five-star resort, that's for sure. And Jesus spoke to John, and he said, write these letters to the churches. And John was covering these particular churches in Asia Minor. And he said, write these seven letters to the churches. And in each letter, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's my encouragement to you. To have the faith of God is that we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I said we had to battle for this land and for these buildings to see the resources provided for that. And it came because we heard the Holy Spirit. We knew it was God that wanted us to step forward, and that therefore we could be confident in the expression of that faith. And really, we were expressing the faith of God. If you're in a situation and you're in a difficulty, then I encourage you, say, Holy Spirit, how do I express faith in this situation? What do I declare? I'm sometimes in places where I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. And in those times, I say to God, look, I trust you, Lord. I just put my trust in you. I know you're going to bring me through. When I first came to this church, honestly, it was a struggle street. Excuse me, Brian, while I share this. I'm not knocking you in saying this. But there was no real leadership happening in the church. And I felt the church, you know, was, and I was trying to move the church forward. And I would get out of bed on Monday mornings and my head would spin there, nearly faint. And I'm not a fainting person. And I felt that we were fighting things and dealing with things. But I had to come to a place of saying, God, I trust you. Either you brought me here to kill me and I trust you in that, or you brought me here to take things on. This church had a turnover of pastors before I came, and I came and made the declaration, I'm going to stay here, Lord, no matter what happens. And it was a battle, and I'm thankful for men like Pastor Brian Scott who stood with us in the battle there. Also, there was other good men. There were good men with us, and they stood with us, and hey, within a month, God said, start a school, as if we didn't need any more things on our plate at the time. But once again, these men said, we'll do it. And I'm thankful that they caught the vision and stood with us, and we did that together. See, it was something that God put in the hearts and we expressed in faith. You get me? You understanding where I'm going? Okay. So, have the faith of God. And then number four, Jude 1:20. The scripture says that you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Listen, may I just say this? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see it as an essential part of a Christian experience. But many people get prayed for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they speak in tongues and they say, hey, I've got it, as if the Holy Spirit isn't it. That's not what it's intended for. See, it's a starting point. It's not an end point. And so when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's so we can express ourselves in speaking in tongues, which the Bible says we speak mysteries under God. But I want to say this to you. When you speak in tongues, make it a two-way street. In other words, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm sending that up to God. But I also believe while I'm speaking in tongues, God's imparting something into my spirit. Now, I may not readily receive it in my mind at that time, but I am believing. See, this is the quality of faith. I am believing God to speak to me as I speak in tongues. Otherwise, I just babble on. I feel like I'm babbling on. What is it? What's the point? See, there's a difference between just talking in tongues and talking in tongues in faith. That something is happening while I'm speaking in tongues, that faith is being released, that God is doing something and he's bringing it into my spirit. Now, just because it's in my spirit, it's not in my brain until there's a flow. Some things God plants in our spirit, which he gradually brings out over time, or he may tell us sooner than that. Doesn't matter. But speak in tongues with faith. Don't speak in tongues like it's just talking. Got me? That's how we can grow, and that will help your faith to be expressed. That's where it says we build up our faith. So when you speak in tongues, believe, God, I'm building up my faith. Look, I know some of you go to the gym. Good on you. That's great. I just go and lift up the front of my car and just keep developing my muscles that way. But what about your spirit? What about developing your spirit? See, I believe in exercise. I walk every day. I try to keep fit. I work in the garden. I do a lot of things like that. But I want to make my spirit the primary thing in my life that I'm developing and growing. And that's what builds my faith. Number five, be God pleasers. In Hebrews 11:6, the scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Be a God pleaser. Operate in faith so that you can do that. And then number six, be an overcomer. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. We need to be overcomers. We need to be people who know how to win, who go forth with expectation with the Lord and in faith to see answers to our prayers. There's people in this town who are waiting for your faith to be expressed and for you to reach out to them in some way that will bring them into the kingdom of God. But we don't. We hold back. We don't believe in faith. We don't stretch out in faith to see God move. And I'm encouraging you this morning. I am praying for miracles because that's a demonstration of God's power, that he loves people. I am praying, and you're a miracle, and I'm praying you will release miracles in the lives of people. Why can't you? Why? Because maybe you don't believe. I want you to start believing, expressing faith. God wants to do it. I want you to want to do it. Well, that's a good start. And by faith, we can see it happen, can't we? It can come out. So it's not about who wins elections, but it's about becoming who becomes born again into the kingdom of God. Let's not focus on the world. Let's look at the supernatural part. Let's look at what God's doing, not what man's doing. And let's bring what God wants done down into the earth by the expression of faith and the release. Z, who's on our staff a couple of days a week and does a lot of our pastoral care, and I'm very grateful for that. But she comes from South Africa, and she comes from a tribe called the Zulus. And in that region, or in South Africa, the Zulus are probably the tribe, I'm not sure of this, but the tribe that of renown. And one of the reasons why, 200 years ago, there was a guy named Shaka, and he became king of the Zulus. And he trained his warriors very rigorously. And up until that time, you know, the tribes would fight. And one of the things that tribal fights were about was getting cattle, and probably women as well, but mainly getting cattle, because that represented wealth. And so Shaka trained his troops, and he was ruthless. And so he wouldn't let them sleep with their wives. If any woman got pregnant, during the times that he said that men couldn't sleep with their wives, they put the women to death. How ruthless is that? To train these guys, he would make them work hard on their fitness, and then to harden their feet, he would make them stand on thorns, thistles, whatever, sharp objects. And if they showed 1 inch of pain on their face, they were executed on the spot. That was tough. But he produced an army that cleared up a lot of the land around about, because over 2 million Africans were slain by the Zulus under Shaka. Now, I'm just saying to that, he built a warrior force that literally took a land. Had not the British come with their guns, the Zulus would have driven the British out of Natal and possibly even down to Cape Town. Who knows? It's just that they had superior weapons and they were able to cut down through various events like Blood River, cut down a lot of the Zulus. Now, I'm not trying to make a story of that. I'm just trying to tell you, he produced warriors. But I'm asking you, we need to be warriors too. On the 31st of October, which was just last Thursday, 107 years ago, 800 Australian light horsemen charged the guns at Beersheba. Palestine was held by the Turks. And the Australians, irregardless of life, determined, because they needed water for their horses, we're going to make the charge. And they charged forward. And they came so quickly that the Turks didn't reset their guns for the distance. And they were firing over their heads. Now, yes, a lot of men were killed, horses were killed. But they went through and they overcame the Turks. That was the freedom of Palestine. Do you know today, Israel honours those 800 light horsemen? I guess we don't in Australia. Some of you wouldn't even know the story. But in Israel, they honour them because that broke the back of what happened in Palestine and freed it up for Israel. And so I'm just trying to say, where are the young men? And I'm talking about young men in heart, and that includes the women as well. And so I want to see the freedom of my nation. I want to see this nation become what God wants it to be. And can it be? Look, I don't know how many genuine Christians exist in Australia. Would it be 5%, 4%? How many Christians are in church this particular Sunday morning? I'm talking about real born-again Christians. We've got a nation that's falling away badly. I'm praying, God, raise up. Raise up the warriors. Raise up those with a heart. And listen, even, pardon the expression, dear old ladies, praying are warriors when they stand in faith. They may not go out and do something as such, but just by their prayers. I want to claim to be a warrior. I'm not a young man, but I tell you in heart I am for the kingdom of God. I'm a young man. My heart is for the nation. I want to see this land changed. Prophetic flow over the years, going back to, well, the only first one I heard was Smith Wigglesworth. But he said there would be great streams of missionaries from Australia who would go out carrying the gospel. Later words have said that the per head of population, we would send more missionaries than any other nation in the world. Young men and women. Peter Patterson, 70 years of age, teaching young men about church planting, and women, 70 years of age, hasn't given up. It's not easy, and Bangladesh is definitely not an easy place to be, but there he is. He's lived there for months at times, to the cost of not being there for his son's 40th birthday or connecting with his grandkids at times. And the same for Robin. I'm just saying, can we have such a heart? You know, Pastor Brian went to China. You would have been at least 50 when you went to China, wasn't it, Brian? In your 50s? Yeah. So he wasn't a spring chicken. But I heard somebody say, you should see this man in China. He's a different man. The energy, the determination. And he served there for 20 years. There to reach out to people. Oh God, give us such hearts. Give us such hearts. Give us a church full of people who want to serve and know God and to reach out to God. And in Hebrews 6:12, the scripture says, don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, God didn't intend our Christian lives to be lived in comfort and luxury, but to have a heart of surrender, obedience, and involvement. Some people won't even know what's going on. Some people will know what's going on, but still do nothing. But some will know and do. And I pray that's you. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what sex you are. I don't care what political persuasion you are. It doesn't matter. You are a candidate for the kingdom of God, being a great soldier. And I'm going to encourage you to sign up for the great adventure that's the kingdom of God. So, in closing, it's about faith. It's about hearing God and responding. It's about having a heart that says, here am I, Lord, send me. When David went down to face Goliath, you know, the way you read the story, you think David went down there cool, calm and collected, full of faith and confidence. But I bet David was fearful, trusting God, but fearful. Because here's this giant who, if he stood here, would still be taller than me standing on the stage. And not only that, he'd be wide too. Huge strength. Man of war from his youth. And David is called a stripling. In other words, just a skinny little lad in his teens. But he goes down. He says, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? And he goes forth and he said to the Goliath, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. Destroy that which was coming against the nation of Israel. That's the spirit that's got to rise up in the church and in the people of God. And as I said, I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. You're a candidate for the things of God. Manny Vella, in his 70s, up into near his 80s, would go into the schools to teach religious instruction in there, and the kids would respond. If they saw him in the shop, they'd bring their parents over to meet him. So that was a good response. They must have liked him. What a heart. I honour that. I honour people who step forward for the things of God, who are perhaps in the prayer closet. We don't know that. We don't see them, but God sees. My encouragement to you today is take up the challenge. Take up the call. Respond in faith. Say, God, I'm here. Amen. Why don't you stand and let's pray together. Can we just pray? And this is between you and God. I can say, hey, if you believe what I've said this morning, come and join us out the front. No, I'm not going to do that. Because that can be an emotional response, and certainly emotions do come into it. But I want to put the challenge before you. Will you respond? Don't make excuses. Determine, I'm fit, I'm approved, I'm selected by God, because God chooses everyone, including you. So can we pray together? Would you, I guess, reach out to God while I'm praying? Heavenly Father, here we are in the last of the last days. God, your plans are being revealed. And before the rapture, Lord, I'm praying there'll be a great ingathering of souls, because your people are willing in the day of your power, an expression of life you brought through Jesus Christ. that there would be in the hearts of people a determination to express faith, to live by faith, to walk by faith. Lord, I'm cautiously saying, test their faith. Put people through the challenge. As soldiers would be, if they go into boot camp, they have to go through the testings and trials and to grow into the response of being the soldiers that they're required to be. But the same applies to us, Lord. And so my prayer is today, Lord, in this church, raise up the warriors, stir up the hearts, let people know there is a cause and there is a way, and that with faith in God, we can move forward to see the hand of God manifest in our society. Lord, I pray out of this church that you would raise up missionaries. And we understand missions is neighbourhood to nations, but perhaps those who are going to go to other places to serve you, to make a difference in the lives of others. We commit all this to you, Lord. I'm just thankful that this is such a great church. You have such great plans for it. We've seen it over the years and it continues today. May your Spirit arise upon us. Grant us eyes to see into the supernatural and not be bound just in the natural, but that we can bring forth from the supernatural into the natural, the things that we see and we express by faith. We thank you, Lord, because faith, oh God, is the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.